He touched one of the spots with his fingertip, but it came away with no color, so the blood there was already dried. No, I followed. But whatever the miller had been about to say was lost to his hesitation, for Hilda rose from her sickbed and stood suddenly upright. At first Dietrich thought it was a miracle, but the woman began to turn and spin and sing la la la, flailing her arms. Klaus clutched at her, but her arms struck him a mighty blow to the cheek that nearly felled him. Dietrich went to the pallet's other side and tried to grab one arm while Klaus grabbed the other. He took hold of her wrist and used his own weight to bear her down. Klaus did the same. Hilda continued to twist, side to side, singing wordlessly. Then, abruptly, she ceased and lay still. Klaus's head snapped up. Has she? No. No, she breathes. What does it mean? The dancing? Dietrich shook his head. I know not. Her pustules were grown large, but there were yet no streaks of poison on her arms. May I see her legs? Wordlessly, Klaus lifted Hilda's skirt, and Dietrich studied her groin and thighs and was relieved to see no streaks there either. Gottfried, he called, bring the old wine. Klaus dipped his head. Yeah, yeah, I need also a drink. Will she rest now? It's not to drink. I must wash my lance. Klaus laughed suddenly, then reverted to morose silence. Gottfried brought a pot of vinegar, and Dietrich washed the blade in it. Then he held it in the smithy fire until the handle became hot. He would not chance the soporific sponge this time. Those he must save for ones like Everard, where the chance of life and the risk of death were more closely balanced. Hold the bowl, Dietrich said to Gottfried, handing him a clay basin. When I lance the pustule, he added to Klaus, the pus must drain into the bowl. Ulf said we must not let our flesh contact it, but the Krenkel do not believe it affects them. There is but one way to discover that, said Gottfried. He is a wise demon, then. Klaus studied the Krenkel. She took care of them. Now they take care of her. I understand the one act no better than the other. He stared at the knife. Fear not, Dietrich said. De Chauliac told Manfred that this course was often effective, if not delayed too long. Cut, then! I could not bear it, should she? Dietrich had honed the lance to razor keenness. He brought it through the pustule with a clean stroke. Hilda gasped and arched her back, though she did not scream as Everhard had. Dietrich had firm hold of her arm, and the putrescence spilled into Gottfried's bowl. He looked to see if it contained blood and was relieved to see that it did not. Though less vile than Everard's eruptions, the pus stank badly enough. Klaus gulped and retained his stomach by sheer will, though he did recoil. Soon the grim effort was over. Dietrich poured more of the vinegar over the wounds. He was uncertain why this might be efficacious, but medical doctors had taught so since the great age of Aquinas. Vinegar burned, so perhaps the element of fire burned out the small lives. Afterward, Dietrich walked with Klaus to Walpurger Honig's cottage, where they sat on the bench before it. Klaus rapped his knuckles on the window shutter, and a moment later the alewife opened it and shoved a pot of ale into his hands. She glanced at Dietrich, reappeared with a second pot, then slammed and bolted the shutter. The sudden noise startled little Atjulf Kuhlmann, sitting in the dirt across the street, and he cried out for his mommy. Everyone is afraid, Klaus said, with a gesture of the pot. He took a sip, closed his eyes, and began to weep, the pot dropping from nerveless fingers and spilling his ale in the dirt. I don't understand, he said after a time. Has she wanted for anything? Her mere word was its purchase. Brocades, girdles, wimples, silken small clothes one time in the Freiburg. Italian work, and did that not cost me? French paint for her face. I put food on her table, a roof over her head, and not a hut like her father's, no, a wooden building with a stone fireplace and a chimney to heat the bedloft. I gave her two fine children, and while God saw fit to call the boy back too young, I saw our Fi fairly wed to a Freiburg merchant. Only God knows how Freiburg fares this day. He studied his hands and wrung one with the other. He looked east toward the lowlands. Yes. Yet She seeks other men, he said. Everyone knows it, but I must pretend otherwise and take my little revenges when I weigh out the meal. I jested when I lifted her skirt for you, but I think now you really were the last man in Oberhochwald to see that sight. No, I did not think so at one time. I thought you went into the woods to be with her, Pastor. Priest, though you are, you're a man. So I followed one day. That was when I saw the monsters for the first time. Yet they were not so terrible a sight as my Hilda displayed upon a bed of forest leaves while that crude sergeant entered her. Dietrich remembered one of the miller's horses tethered in the clearing, and thinking then that it was Hilda's. Klaus, he said. But the miller continued with no indication of having heard. I'm an agile man in the marriage bed, not so agile as in my spring, but I've had no complaint from others. Oh, yes, I've thrived, other women. What choice had I? Your choice? No, I burn like your Paul. I don't know why she turns from me. Do other men speak sweeter words? Are their lips more agreeable? And now the miller raised his eyes to look at Dietrich squarely. You could tell her. You could make it a commandment. But I don't want her submission. I want her love. And I can't have that, and I don't know why. I saw her first in her father's swineyard, feeding the pigs. Her feet were bare in the muck, but I saw the princess in the mire. I was apprenticed to old Heinrich, Altenbach's father, that was, who held the hare's mill before me, so my prospects were good. My Beatrix had died in that terrible winter of 1315, and all our children with her, so my seed would die with me unless I wed again. I proposed a marriage to her father and paid merchet, and the hare consented. No woman here ever had so fine a wedding feast, save only the hare's own Kunigund. I learned that night that she was no virgin, but what woman is by that age? It didn't bother me then. Perhaps it should have. Dietrich laid a hand on Klaus's shoulder. What will you do now? He was not gentle with her, that pig sergeant. For him, just another loch. Wanda Schmidt has died. Klaus nodded slowly. That sorrows me. We were good friends. We shared the same lack, but filled it with each other. I know it was a sin, but a small sin, Dietrich assured him. There was no evil, I think, in either of you. Klaus laughed. His thick-set body shook like an earthquake in a barrel, and tears started in the corners of his eyes. How often, he said, when the laughter had settled into melancholy, in your dry scholastic sermons, have I heard you say that an evil is the lack of a good? So tell me, priest, and the eyes he turned on Dietrich overflowed with emptiness, what man has ever lacked as much as I have? They sat in silence. Dietrich handed the miller the pot of ale he held, and the miller drank from it. My sins, he said, my sins. Everard is dead also, Dietrich told him, and Klaus nodded, and Franzel Longnose from the castle. They put his body outside the walls this morning. He looked toward the towers behind the battlements. How fares Manfred? I don't know. Klaus set both pots on the sill for Wanda to take back. I wonder if we ever will. And the Unterbams are gone, Dietrich said. Conrad, his wife, their two surviving children. Toward Bear Valley, I hope, said Klaus. Only a fool would hie for the Breisgau with the pest in Freiburg. Where is Atil's mother? They stood and crossed to the boy crying in the dirt. What is it, my small? Dietrich asked, kneeling beside the lad. Mammy! Atil howled. What mammy? He ran out of breath and sucked in a great bellow that ended in a paroxysm of phlegmy coughing. Where is she? Dietrich asked.
Don't know. Mammy, I don't feel good.
Where's your father?
Don't know. Vati, make it stop.
Then the coughing racked his body once again.
And your sister, Anna? Anna's sleeping. Don't wake her, Mammy said.
Dietrich looked at Klaus, and Klaus looked at him. Then they both looked at the cottage door. The Meyer set his jaw. I suppose we must... Klaus opened the door and stepped inside, and Dietrich, with the boy in hand, followed. There was no sign of Norbert and Adelheid, but Anna lay on a pallet of straw with a countenance of peace and contentment.